and good living. And when he prays, whoops, I'm just wondering what's happened to all of this. Let's see if we can. Ah, there we are. When he prays, he says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers." And that was true. He hadn't stolen anything from anybody. He hadn't been dishonest. He hadn't been unfaithful. He was seriously respectable. And he was very religious as well. We're told that he fasted twice a week. 2 days a week he went without any food. That's how seriously he took his religion. We're told that he gave away a tenth of all that he got. So if he earned £100, he would give away £10. That's impressive, isn't it? He really was religious. He took it seriously. It made a big impact on the way that he lived his life. The other man was very, very different. He was a complete rogue. He was an absolute rotter. He was a tax collector. And in those days, if you moved from one area to another, if you crossed a border, you had to pay a tax as you passed across that border post. A sort of post-Brexit arrangement, I suppose. And the Romans, who were in charge, they would say to the tax collector at that border post, "We want £100 from you this year." And as long as they got their £100, they were happy. If the tax collector charged everybody a bit more, so he made £200 or £300 or even £400, the Romans didn't mind as long as they got their £100. So here he was, ripping everybody off with the power of Rome behind him to do it. A bit like one of those con men that you hear about occasionally, who maybe is visiting old people in their homes and persuading them to buy insurance that they don't really need or something like that. Making themselves rich at other people's expense. That was this guy. And more than that, he was working for the enemy. He was working for the Romans. Sometimes when a football player moves from one club to another, he gets booed by the original supporters. Every time he touches the ball, boo! He's working for the enemy. Well, that's how this tax collector was. Making himself rich at everybody else's expense. So, who is in God's good books? Who goes home right with God that day from the temple? It looks like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Surely it's got to be this religious, respectable man. That's what everybody who's listening to Jesus' story is thinking. But Jesus' story is about to take a big surprise, about to deliver an enormous shock. Now, earlier this week, we asked some of our kids' club members to tell us about some of their recent surprises, some of the things that had taken them by surprise. Let me just see if we can find the right place in this here. And there we go. Let's have a listen.
So I had this biscuit, and I thought it was a chocolate chip biscuit. And I ate it, and it was actually raisins in it, and I got really sad.
So when I was in a hall, my mum was talking to another person who looked just like my mum, and then I went up to the other person who my mum was talking to, and I said something really, really private, and then the person turned around and said, "Who are you?" And I was like, and I ran off, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
I was expecting really fresh peas, and I went digged straight into them, but I realised that they were tinned, and I still had to eat them. I was very sad about that.
So, like, basically, we were walking in the park, and I thought someone was Granny and Grandpa. I was like, "Oi, Granny, Grandpa!" And, yes, long story short, it turned out they weren't.
So, just now, I had this caramel wafer, but I've given out biscuits for Lent, so I thought it was just a chocolate bar, but it's a biscuit.
Well, there we are. There's some of their surprises. You thought they were going to be real peas, and they turned out to be tinned peas. You thought it was going to be a chocolate chip cookie, and it turned out to be raisins instead. Well, the surprise that is here is much bigger than any of those. Everybody is expecting that it is this religious man who goes home right with God. That's what everybody is thinking it's going to be. But no, Jesus says, let's just, see if we can move this on. Jesus says that it was the tax collector. It was this absolute rogue who went home right with God that day. I can imagine when they got to this bit of the story, everyone went, "Oh, it's not what they were expecting at all." And it's the Pharisee, it's the religious, respectable man who doesn't. What a shock for everybody. How come? How come it's like this? Well, let's look again at how these two men prayed. The religious man said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." So it's all about himself, isn't it? What he has done and what he has not done. Who's he comparing himself to? Well, to other people. He looks across at this tax collector and says, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not like that bloke." He's comparing himself to others. He's looking in the wrong direction. It's God we need to look to. It's God's standards that really matter. And if this man had done that, well, he would have known that he wasn't right with God, that he'd not love God as he should, that he'd not loved other people as God wanted him to. None of us have. And Jesus says at the end of the story here, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. One day this man who's relied on his own goodness, who's tried to make it on his own, will stand before God. And then he will know that he's not treated God as God. He will be humbled. And he'll face God's right and proper anger forever. What about the other man? Well, we're told, aren't we, that he stood at a distance. He stood at the back. He didn't feel he belonged in this holy building, this temple. He didn't feel he belonged in God's presence. And he wasn't looking at anyone else. He was looking inside, at his own heart. We're told he beat his breast. He felt really sorry and upset about the thoughts and attitudes that he found inside himself. And he says to God, "God, have mercy on me." He knows that he can't pretend with God. He knows that God knows what he's like. He sees those inmost thoughts and desires. He can't pretend with God. And he says, "God, have mercy on me." Literally, he's saying, "God, don't be angry with me. It's what I deserve. It would be right and proper. But please don't be angry with me. He knows that unless God has mercy, he's finished. He's done for. He's not treated God the right way. He's on the wrong side of God. Now, later on here in Luke's Gospel, he will tell us about Jesus' death on a Roman cross. And it's that death on a cross which is God's rescue for sinners. It tells us all very clearly that every one of us needs to be rescued from God's anger. Every one of us needs God's forgiveness, like this tax collector. We need God to have mercy on us. Well, as Jesus died, God's anger at my sin was taken by Jesus. That's why he died. And so now God can have mercy on people like you and me. He can treat us as we don't deserve, because Jesus has taken the treatment that we do deserve. And we can look back to that death of Jesus, that very first Easter, and we can be so much more sure that God will treat us with mercy. So much more sure than this tax collector when we turn back to God. So there's the big surprise of Jesus' story. Jesus said it was this man on the left who went home right with God that day, and not the other man. The Pharisee, well, he went home unchanged, still trusting in himself, still relying on his own goodness, which wasn't good enough. The death of Jesus on the cross tells us it's never good enough. The other man, well, he went home very different, didn't he? He went home forgiven. He went home that day right with God. He went home looking forward to heaven. What a change. And why was it? Well, because he trusted in God's mercy. It's as simple as that. So the question for us is this. What are we relying on? What will you say to God on the day of judgment? Will it be, I tried my best? That's the Pharisee. Or will it be, I'm a sinner, but Jesus died for me? That's the tax collector. Let's have a prayer together. Dear God, please help us to keep away from the mistake of the Pharisee, thinking that we can rely on our own goodness, bringing your standards down to our level. And thank you so much that in the death of Jesus, you've made the rescue that we need. Please help each one of us here this morning to see how much we need your mercy. And then maybe even this morning to turn back to you as number one in our lives, and to rely on the rescue of Jesus' death as our only hope. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to sing this song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's only the death of Jesus which is our only hope for rescue from our sins. Let's